Good evening. I'm glad to be here this evening for multiple reasons. One, it means I'm healthy enough to be out and about. That's always a blessing. But also, to be in the house of the Lord is a blessing. What I wrote on the board says, give of what you have. I want to encourage us tonight. Sometimes I think we get to looking around and we start measuring things. And the Bible says those that measure themselves amongst themselves, it says we're not wise. And sometimes I wonder if we get to looking at what do I have to offer God? What can I give God that would be beneficial, would be something He needs? And the real answer is, He doesn't really need what we have. But He uses us. He uses us, and not always in big, grandiose ways. So I want to start off looking in 1 Kings chapter 17. Starting off in verse 8. Familiar story. And the word of the Lord came unto him, this is Elijah, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he in her house did eat many days. Now we know Elijah had been out by the brook. And the brook had dried up. And the Lord had told Elijah here, I'm sending you to a place because I've got somebody that's going to sustain you. I've made provision for you. And so Elijah goes and there's the lady that's going to have provision for you. How much provision did that lady have? If you had asked her, okay, you've got enough set back for that prophet I'm going to send your way. You're going to be able to feed him for the next duration of time till rain comes. You've got that put back, right? You've been diligent, right? No. What did the woman say? I mean, Elijah sounds like was walking on faith. Hey, get me some water. The brook's dried up. I'm kind of thirsty. And while you're at it, if you don't mind, how about a little cake? Elijah expected her to have provision, didn't he? And what was her response? Well, now, let's talk about this cake you're wanting. I don't actually have a cake. What I've got is just a little bit of ingredients for making one. And I was about to go put that together. That's why you see me out here gathering sticks. And then once we ate this last little bit of food, we were going to die. And Elijah's response is what? Okay. But make me a cake first. Because God has said you will provide sustenance to me. That little bit that she had to offer, the little bit that basically said it's not even enough for three people, much less two, Elijah looked at that. God said it's going to work. And he told the lady, God will help that to last until the rains come. Then the question's back on the widow. What do? Give her what you have. That's all the Lord's asking. You know, he wasn't asking that widow woman to have some hidden store, some big pile of wheat and maize and corn that she just carefully hid back. So he just said, she's got some food, just a little bit. And I think he looked in her heart and said, she'll be willing to share it, even though it's just a little bit. And because she's going to be willing to give of what she has, I can work with that. There's a widow woman. That's the woman I want you to go spend your time with. The woman that's not worried about, she's not the richest person in town. There may have been people in town with more goods in their pantries than she had. But that's not where the Lord sent Elijah, was it? He sent Elijah to the widow woman that after she heard what the prophet said, she said what? All right. I'm going to go bake you a cake. And how many days did they eat? Many days, it said. Well, we know that till the rains came. All because she was willing to take what she had, even though it may have looked totally insignificant, not even capable of meeting the basic needs of just one or two people. But if the Lord needs it, it's yours, Lord. I'll let you have it. So now let's move on into 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4. Another familiar story. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all those vessels, and then thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her sons, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. So here we see the story. A creditor's coming to collect. And her certainty was she didn't have the money. He's going to come. He's going to make my son servants. They're going to become bondsmen. Help me. And Elisha, what do you have on hand? Tell me, what do you have? Well, I don't have anything. Oh, I got a pot of oil. Now, don't you think if she thought she could have sold that oil to get money to pay the debt, she'd have just done that? So how much oil do you think she had? A lot? I don't know how big the pot was, but it was big enough that, or small enough, I should say, that it didn't seem to cross her mind that's what I need to be working with. But Elisha said, okay, pot of oil. The Lord can work with that. Go to your neighbors. Go to your neighbors and start borrowing empty vessels. And oh, by the way, don't just borrow vessels from the houses close to you. It said go abroad. Go get as many vessels as people will loan you from anybody you know in town. And if you know people out of town that'll give you vessels, get those too. Go get you some empty vessels. Why? Well, you're going to take that pot of oil. You're going to close the door. You're going to start pouring it into those vessels. And you'll watch the Lord come and work. How did the Lord work? Starts pouring into vessels. Well, that one's full. Next one's full. I pondered sometimes, how many vessels had she got together? Because it said that When the oil was sold, it paid the debt, and she had enough for her and her children to live on. That widow woman sat back and said, he told me to go get vessels to pour my little bit of oil into. Now, do you think it would have been tempting to put human reasoning to work and say, you know what? I've got a quart of oil. All I'm going to need is a quart pot to pour it into. That's it. Because once I don't need any more. You know, once I pour my quart into that quart, a gallon bucket will just be small. Won't even fill it up. But what was the Lord doing? He's like, I just need you to give me what you have so I can work with it. You know, sometimes I wonder how many times we are begging the Lord for an answer to prayer. And the Lord's like, I would love to answer your prayer. But I need you to give me that little item. I need you to hand something to me that I can work with. And I got something in mind. You know? You got oil. You don't think you have anything in the house that'll save you right now, but you got oil. And I can multiply oil. And if you can go get empty vessels, guess what? I'll give you enough oil, you can sell it, and your needs are taken care of. So now let's go to Mark. Mark chapter 12. Starting in verse 41. Another familiar story. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all of her living. Now this story I've always been impressed with. Here the Lord is sitting watching people go put money into the temple. I pondered that. Why was he doing that? What was he seeing? He was obviously looking at things beyond what you and I can see. And his statement about this woman, and it never really hit me till studying this. He said she, by herself with those two mites, put more in than all the other people, rich and poor, added together. Have you ever really considered that difference in wealth? With her two mites, with what little bit she had, God counted that more than any other, than if you took all the contributions of everybody else around that had come through, visitors to the temple, external people to the temple, travelers from all over that would come and give to the temple. And the Lord Jesus said, she's gave more than all those. Isn't that a beautiful thought? She took two mites. I don't have much, Lord. But this is her heart. Where was her heart at? All I've got, Lord, is two mites. I can't buy a dove to go sacrifice. I don't have a whole lot I can do. I got two mites. It's all I got to my name. But you know what, Lord? Everything I got came from you. Everything I have comes from you. And I want to pay you homage. And so I'm going to give you the two mites. It's all I've got. I don't know what the temple's going to do with it, but Lord, it's yours. I want you to have it. And with that willingness of heart, I pondered, was Jesus sitting there that day because he knew she was headed to the temple? And he was just sitting there waiting? I know. She was She made up her mind. Today was the day she's bringing me those two mites. I can't wait to see her come around the corner with that treasure that she's bringing. There she is. Hey, disciples, take a look. Richest woman that came through the temple today. Why? A trusting, willing, obedient heart. She's taken what she has, even though it's insignificant in the eyes of the world. And she just gave it all to me. What beauty, what beauty, what, how do we worship the Lord? How do we take the things in our lives and say, God, this is all I have to offer you, but I know you, it came from you in the first place. I want to give it to you. I want you to have it. I want you to deal with it the way you want to deal with it. I'm letting go. It was her very life, if you will, her livelihood that she gave. And it was not given in vain. I doubt that the Lord sat there and took that kind of notice of that gift to the temple and then let her go hungry. I have no doubt she was fed well, spiritually and physically. So now let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, starting in verse 1, another familiar story. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? So we have this story here, a multitude of people needing to be fed. We know from the story it's roughly 5,000 people. Did you notice the question Jesus asked Philip? He asked him, where are we going to buy bread for all of these? The question wasn't, can we buy bread? The question wasn't, should we buy bread? The question was, where are we going to buy it? The very tone of Jesus' question is a statement of intent. These people are about to get fed. We just need the bread. So Philip, where are you going to go buy us bread from? Philip's response, well, there's too many people here for, 200 pennyworth. I'm assuming that's probably all they had in the little treasury box or the purse that was carried around. We could probably, if we could find a place to buy it, we might be able to buy enough for them to all have just a little itty bitty bitty piece, but it might be more of an insult to do that to them than to just maybe tell them to go get some bread on their own. I don't know. Lord. We buying it? And then I'm kind of curious about Andrew here with his, Andrew pipes up. Well, we may not have to buy it. There's a little lad here. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It's right here. But once again, Lord, you see the crowd. You see the 5,000 people. What? It's 5 loaves and 2 fishes, Lord. It's a meal for a little boy. Not 5,000 men. But what happened to the 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Somebody had to ask that little boy for his meal, didn't they? Son, Jesus wants to know if you'll share your meal with these 5,000 people. The faith of children. Have you ever considered that? I wonder if the Lord put that meal in that young man's hands just because he still had the childlike faith that was necessary to understand that, yeah, it's 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but that's Jesus. That's Jesus. And he's about to do a miracle with my lunch. Watch. And they went to feeding people, didn't they? Did they feed them just a little bit? Let's start reading here in verse 10 and continue on down. And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, likewise of the fishes, so much, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. So now, do you notice what Jesus did here? First of all, we don't 200 penny worth, and we can't buy enough, except for maybe people have a little pinch of bread each. And then Andrew says, "Well, we have 5 loaves. Do you know 5 loaves would have been way less than 200 penny worth of bread?" And yet God said, "Okay, tell them to sit down. I've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Everybody have a seat. We're about to eat." Did the people eat just a little? Did they go around, "Okay, I got a fish this big, you get a little piece of fish, you get a little piece of fish, you get a little piece of fish," and then the next person coming behind with a loaf of bread, "Well, here's your little pinch of bread, here's your..." No, it said they gave to the people as much as they wanted. How much do you want? "Well, can I have half a loaf?" "Sure." Well, now we're down to 4.5 loaves. And I just fed one person. Now what? What if a person said, "I want 2 loaves? Ever consider being there at that scene? Jesus blessing the food and handing it to the disciples. And I have a feeling they, "Okay, well, here's your 2 loaves. And now they're empty handed. They turn back to Jesus and, "Wait a minute. He's got a stack of bread out in front of him as he's blessing and making more bread. Well, let me grab a couple more loaves. You want 2 loaves? Okay. Well, what about you? 2 loaves and a fish? Okay." Can you imagine the change in the mindset of the disciples and the people as they watch that happening? Suddenly realizing they're not having to settle for being hungry just because there's a little bit to start with. 5,000 people fed and 12 baskets of bread fragments picked up. 5 barley loaves. How many of those do you think would have fitted in one of those baskets? There was more bread left over than they started with. And we get hung up on trying to figure out if what we've got is enough for the Lord to work with. The Lord plainly told him 200 penny worth of bread. He didn't tell him, "Okay, well, buy 200 penny worth of bread. We can start with that." No. He was willing to work with the 5 loaves. They still had their 200 penny worth of funds in their purse. He was like, I don't need you to necessarily give me the money. What I need from you is faith. I need trust. I'm dealing in something that's bigger than anything you have to offer me. Because if you will give me what you have in full faith, like that young lad did, like the widows did, I can work with it. I can absolutely work with it and make it just go further than you've ever seen it go before. Do we sometimes get to looking at our lives and thinking, once again, "You know, Lord, There's so many needs in the church. There's so much going on, this and that. I don't have anything to give. I don't have anything that big. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a public speaker. I'm terrified to death of public speaking. Okay. You know Moses was too. And what happened? The Lord said, okay, Moses, I will not have you do the public speaking. But you got a brother that talks very well. So you're not off the hook. I'll have him be your mouthpiece. I still need you. I still need what little bit you have, even though you don't think it's worth me having. Because Moses, I'm going to do a mighty work with your life. Sometimes we get to looking at literal things. You know, giving literally. Do you know what God wanted from the widow to support Elijah? He wanted service. He didn't send Elijah to her because she had an abundance of earthly goods. He sent Elijah to her because there's an obedient heart. And she'll take what little bit she has and she will absolutely put it to work for me. And I can work with that. Just let me have what you have. I'll put it to work. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 9, verse 7. Talking about giving, says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. One thing that I've often thought about on this verse and studying it again tonight reminded me of that. This is criteria for giving. Where in this criteria does it say anything about the amount you have to give being the deciding factor? Does it say you need to have enough before you give? You need to make sure you have plenty? No. What it's talking about is how are you giving? What's your attitude? What's your heart? Are you giving grudgingly? Have you ever been around people that they would help you, but only if they thought they were going to get something in return? And only if what they thought they was going to get in return was worth it, because otherwise I don't know if I really want to help you. You know, I just, no. Okay, I'll help you out, but you better make this worth my while. What about giving out of necessity or duty? Do you know sometimes I think we fall into that trap? I feel like I have to give to the Lord. How many of us have heard of the 10% tithes? And it's easy to start there. Well, I have to give to the Lord. That's a duty. That's a necessity. Oh, but what was the necessity listed in this verse? According to the willing and cheerful intents of our hearts, freely giving as the Lord inspires. That's what the Lord looks for. He doesn't care how much you have to offer. He doesn't care how big or small it may seem. What he wants to know is, are you giving it to me because you love me? Because you trust me and you know I'm going to handle it well? Because I'm going to put it to good use? And you can't wait to see how far it'll go? You know, there's the prosperity, I'm going to call it prosperity gospels, it's often taught in the world. And they talk about you need to give till it hurts. And they are all focused on the amount. They talk about you can't outgive God. Well, you can't. But you can actually give unwisely. You can give to things that you shouldn't. You know, if you're down in a big city and you see the alcoholic struggling on the side of the road, you could go up and give the man $1,000. Not wise. He's probably not going to check himself into rehab. He's going to go abuse the money because it wasn't thought through. Notice it said, according to the will, to what we want. to do. Every man according to as he purposeth in his heart. Meaning there's thought put into this giving. There's intent. The little lad. I've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I'm willing to share. And Jesus said, that's exactly what I'm looking for. You're willing to feed the people with what you have, small though it may be. And you're willing to put it into my hands. Let me control the giving. Let me distribute it. Let me guide where it goes. You're letting it go. He had to let it go for the Lord to bless it. And then it wasn't his to distribute. The Lord put it into the disciples' hands. You distribute it. But what a blessing. I would just challenge us, and this is not intended to be a message about monetary giving, folks. That is not the intent tonight at all. It's the service of your life. Have you looked at it and said, what do I have? Is it just a little bottle of the oil of service in your life? Just a little bottle? That you can say, Lord, and I can vouch for this, Brother Rod might have felt like this in his life at times. Sometimes I feel like time is something I just don't have much of. But do I have 5 or 10 minutes to do something for the Lord? We heard a testimony on Wednesday night about somebody getting verses texted to them. How encouraging it was to them, wasn't it? How big was that? How long does it actually take to send a text? You know, you can say, well, I'm really busy right now. I'll do it in 10, 15 minutes. I'll take a break and do that. 10, 15 minutes, what else has happened to your day? I'm just speaking for what I know happens to mine. 10, 15 minutes from now, you're probably not even taking the break. You're busy trying to figure out how to get unjammed from what are the next issue that rolled in. And instead of having taken that 30 seconds to a minute that you had, saying, okay, Lord, but I'm going to send this encouraging thought to my brother. Don't forget to give the Lord even the little things. He can do so much with a little bit. But if we don't give it to him, it's not his to do anything with. We have to give it to him. Y'all pray for me.